Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Are you ready? It's Saturday morning at Yahoo Sports Radio. Welcome to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon and powered by Insperity.
Insperity, inspiring small business performance.
The golf doctor, Charlie Epps, is in. The man who coaches PGA stud, Angel Cabrera.
Follow the golf doctor on Twitter, @thegolf_doctor.
Doctor, the golf doctor is in on Yahoo Sports Radio right now. With Charlie Epps, here's your host. From the Quick and Loan studios of Yahoo Sports Radio, it's our very own scratch golfer. Sort of.
Hey, I should have stayed home and played with myself.
John Granato.
Good Saturday morning, everybody. As the man told you, I am John Granato, along with the golf doctor, Charlie Epps, in our Houston studios, Quicken Loan studios. Charlie, how are you?
You know, I'm great. And you can't stay home. You've got to come and do the Saturday morning show.
I have to.
Isn't that great?
That's awesome.
Talk golf.
That's right.
With
our good friend, Billy Harmon.
Bill Harmon.
Bill Harmon, what's going on, buddy? Billy, you there? Oh, we had a problem, a phone problem.
Golf worldwide. You know, I saw this past week.
What'd you see?
Greg Norman.
You saw Greg Norman.
Greg Norman. I was at the tour event in outside of Cancun, Playa del Carmen, at a place called Mayacoba.
Mayacoba?
He designed the golf course, which is being played this weekend, and Graham McDowell is leading. And Greg was down there, and he's getting ready to build another course across the street. Then he's going to Belize. I mean, Greg Norman is responsible for what golf is today.
Really? Well, he wanted this worldwide for a
worldwide
while.
Worldwide tour.
Right.
And he got a cold shoulder from the PGA Tour when he suggested it. But then they copied everything. I mean, today we're playing in Mexico. We're playing in Shanghai. We got two tournaments in Mexico, John. Lorena Ochoa's tournament is in Mexico City. So, you know, golf is good. Professional golf is good. There's a market for it. Dean Beeman is announcing, you know, not Dean Beeman, excuse me, the commissioner of the PGA.
Tim.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill. It's so good that you joined us this morning.
Were you, Bill?
Getting an extra cup of coffee?
No, the phones weren't working, Charlie, but I'm glad I got in there to let you know who the commissioner of golf was. Right.
Bill, you've been looking after me for 40 years, and I appreciate it. But I was just
100%.
I was just telling them that, you know, the worldwide golf is unbelievable. And this week down in Cancun, Greg Norman was there. And I was just telling John that, you know, he's really responsible for this worldwide tour.
Well, he certainly had that vision, you know, many, many years ago. And for whatever reasons, it appeared to be not embraced by the PGA. And then probably within a decade, they came up with the four world golf events and things of that nature. But the game certainly is worldwide. But, you know, those four events, too, are kind of interesting because not all the players play in them now. So they've tried to create these kind of tournaments, maybe a step underneath the majors. But I don't know how much traction it's really gotten. But I do agree with you, Charlie, that the game is so worldwide, and Greg, the view of that was, in fact, correct many years ago.
Now, you were just there. How were the crowds?
The crowds are minimal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a resort town, and most everybody goes down there for other things than watching professional golf. The golf tournament is there. It is to publicize golf in Mexico.
Was it getting good publicity from the
local? Yeah, I mean, you got 5 days or 4 days of Golf Channel, which is good, and it shows off the beautiful weather in that part of the world at this time of the year. Mm-hmm. And it's a PR move. It's not well attended, But there'll be maybe 3,000 people on Sunday afternoon watching the leaders. But what another thing, Bill, I find very interesting is that Graham McDowell, who's really had a couple bad years, he finished outside the top 125 again. He won the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach 5 years ago, so his exemptions are running out, and he's leading at 12 under. And he was paired actually with Cabrera and Jeff Ogilvie, the three U.S. Open winners. And of course, Jeff and Ankel really had some hard times, and Graham really, he started the event with a double bogey. First hole.
Interesting how his game fluctuates quite a bit. He has a unique swing.
Yes.
With some interesting positions in it.
Yes.
And it seems like when he's on, he's really on. But when he's off, he seems to lose a lot of confidence. And he's a tough guy to get a handle on as a player because he's done some things that are definitely world class. But then he's had some very, very prolonged slumps in his career. Which kind of tells me a couple things. The first thing it is how hard it is to stay on top and the dedication that it takes, let's say, to even just stay in the top 20 in the world year after year after year. And, you know, I always wonder, Charlie, about these guys, and this isn't a criticism, an observation. You know, they're so young and they make so much money, and you wonder what that does to their desire and their hunger and their sense of urgency all the time. And it doesn't take much for the 100 players to pass you nowadays because the players are really good.
It certainly doesn't. And you look at his shirt, and it looks like he's on a NASCAR, and he's got more advertisements on his shirt. And he's, you know, Nicklaus and Palmer, they started their families before they started their golf career. Okay? And so their families grew up with him. Well, take Graham McDowell. He became famous, and then after that, he gets married, and then he has a child, and then he opens up a big restaurant, and he has so many other distractions and trying to play worldwide golf, his game suffered. And so now he's come out and said that, you know, he wants to play where the best job is, and he's going to play in the United States. So,
Well, and didn't we say that when Tiger was on top back in the early 2000s, we said the only thing that's going to be able to distract him is starting a family.
Yes.
And, well, sure enough, it became his downfall with all of the stuff that happened because of it. But distraction, talk about distraction.
What happened? I can't remember. Yeah.
Well, he can't remember either, I think. But you talk about distraction, Billy, and you talk about what it been. Is that not the best example of what focus means to the game?
Well, and I also think, you know, like I said, there's so many good players, John. And, you know, your stroke average could go up a half a shot around, and that's the difference between being in the top 10 in the money list, let's just say, and being outside the top 125. So the margin of error is so minimal. And so if you get going a little bit bad and your short game's not there and you get distracted, it doesn't take much for you to lose your form, and as your confidence is going down, the players that are coming up and beating you, their confidence is growing. And I think Charlie will agree with this. There's no law saying you ever get your confidence back.
Boy, oh boy, and you can see Jeff Ogilvie. Now, here's a guy that won the U.S. Open, started winning a lot, then he got hurt in surfing over in Hawaii. And he's lost his confidence, and he's won one marginal tournament. But watching him play, it was completely different than he used to, because you can see that he's afraid. There's certain drives that he knows are going to go left. And when you know that, and you can't do anything about them, you really play without confidence.
Well, look at the guys, Ogilvie and Webb Simpson, who we all thought they win that major. And then that's it.
Yeah.
And then
you
don't hear from him again.
Yeah. I'm going to give you a new name to look for, Bill.
Okay.
Harold Varner III.
Yeah, I know. He's a young African-American. Is that correct? Is that on the tour through the web.com, I might add, Charlie?
That's exactly right. And yesterday he just has 9 birdies.
Yeah.
And he came up, you know, through the correct way, you know, and at an early sign on the PGA Tour. He's fun to watch. He's entertaining in the lunchroom. You know, he's a good kid.
Well, the young guys are really taking advantage of this so-called wraparound tour because they're really, really playing well. And they are getting quite a step up on this money list for 2016.
Yeah, this, you know, you got to play early, and guys like Boo Wheatley, he's complaining because he can't go fishing and hunting.
That was the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. For him to, I thought it was just so stupid. Because you know what? It's optional. He doesn't have to play.
But you can't. You got to play. Especially,
well, there's a lot of guys that aren't playing.
Yeah, but it's only the good guys. But the,
if you're
the
marginal, you got to play.
Marginal, you know, guys, you're out there trying to catch some fish.
Well, I'm saying his career is optional. If he doesn't want to be a pro golfer and he doesn't want to play in those tournaments, he doesn't have to play in the tournaments. I think he's biting the hand that feeds him. And I thought it was so stupid and ignorant, I couldn't get over it.
That's Billy Harmon and Charlie Epps right here. On the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance. Before we take a break, thoughts and prayers out there for what's going on in Paris. Just unbelievable. Hopefully those people, you know, it's already 153 people that are thought to be dead and probably rising. So thoughts and prayers go out to everyone in Paris.
Absolutely.
For what's going on there.
Horrible.
Horrible. It's 14 past on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com. Powered by Insperity. Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
Yeah. All right, 19 past. On the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance, and the International Pro-Am, Charlie.
It won't be too long, and I will be in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, with my friends, with Billy Sitton and Jackie Sitton, their team that puts together, to me, one of the great events for amateur golf, a Pro-Am that's social, but it's good competition on three different golf courses. It's at the end of the year. The weather is perfect in Puerto Vallarta in December. Everything is, this is the 26th year for the event. They raised money for Billy Sitton's father in his honor to give to a needy child in Texas, in Houston, to go to college. So it's just a wonderful event, and it's really been very popular. It's full this year, so put it on your calendar for 2016. You're going to reward yourself at the end of the year and go to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, and play in a Pro-Am for 72 holes. And I guarantee you, you'll keep going back. We've got people that have been to all 26 years of the event. So I can't encourage you enough. Go on to PuertoVallartaProAm.com, see what it's all about, see the history, and put it on your calendar for next year. So I hope that you do that. So. That's it, John.
That's it. So get on down there and enjoy a great week of golf with Charlie and Billy here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance. Bill, you see this lawsuit that Vijay Singh has against the tour? Have you read about this?
You know, I just saw something this morning, and I didn't read the article. And funny, the other day I was thinking about what happened to this lawsuit. What are the latest developments, John?
Well, nothing. Just it was just the fact that he is suing the tour because they didn't respond to his request to see what was going on with this deer antler spray IGF-1 when it came out, and then they suspend him for it when he apparently had asked them, for a ruling on it, and they didn't respond. So. But it's interesting. We talk about these older guys, and we talk about, you know, heck, we were talking about Bernard Langer and getting better, and everybody who's getting better right now on the tour. I wonder if you know, I know that there is obviously there is there. Do you guys have testing, Charlie?
Yes, they're testing all the time. I mean, it happens to...
Does Angel get tested a lot?
I would say a minimum of 3, if not 4 times a year.
Really?
Randomly. You never know when it's coming. And the thing that really makes him mad is that, I'd say like on 16, he'll relieve himself, okay?
And then they'll tell him... they'll tell him after 18?
And then they'll tell him after 18. Now he's got an hour, so he's got to drink 4 bottles of water. And when you... Last year it happened to him and Mickelson at the same time. So, yes, they and there are also some new rules being put in place because the Olympics are coming up. And their rules are a lot more strict than the PGA rules.
Do you guys, Billy, do you believe that the tour is clean?
Yeah, I'd say for the most part it is. Yeah, I would. We haven't had any huge things come out since drug testing. You know, a couple of marginal players, I think, have tested positive for things that really didn't appear to be that serious. I don't really know. You know, I had heard early on, and I don't know if this is true or not, because you don't really get much out of VJ, but I had heard early on that one of the reasons he was going to pursue this lawsuit is he thought that there were other players who had flunky drug tests for cocaine and stuff like that. And they were pretty much protected by the tour. And when he flunked his, whatever happens, he was kind of vilified. And I think in some respects he has a point there. I don't know whether suing the tour is the right thing to do, but I do think he has a point in that regard. Don't you, Charlie?
Well, sure. I mean, when the PGA Tour does not publicize what their findings are, and then all of a sudden a guy wants to take a 6-month sabbatical, and Dustin Johnson, I mean, those are the things that he's after. Just publicize what the results are. Right now, the PGA Tour doesn't do that.
Think he feels as though he was treated incorrectly, and he could be right in that regard because the tour has protected their image, quite a bit. And there are, I don't know for sure, but Charlie and I hear a lot of things. You know, there's a few players that have allegedly flunked these drug tests, and they get kind of coddled a little bit, and VJ wasn't coddled. So I think that really got him irritated.
Is there a difference?
I think he wants everything out in the open. If he's going to be in the open, let's get them all
Is there a difference in casual drugs or recreational drugs and stuff that's trying to help you be a better player?
I just know that society, in general, there's a certain percentage of people that do stuff like that. And to think that the PGA Tour is clean 100%, I think, is a little naive. Mm-hmm. I think there are people that drift that way for different reasons. I think it's going to come out one day.
Okay. Well, we saw it with Dustin. He got suspended. Obviously, we knew what it was all about, obviously. But VJ, we'll see. We'll find out. I'm surprised that there's not more steroid use because of the money involved. Hey, there's in all sports, they're trying to get the best edge. I'm not just pointing at golf. Every sport. Yeah. Every sport is trying to get the best edge they can.
Look what they say about Russia.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Halftime. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com. Powered by Insperity. Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
Back here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, second half action here. Charlie Epps, John Granato in Houston, Billy Harmon at his palatial estate with the new teaching center. Bill, how's that going?
Fantastic. Can't even express how good it's been. That's unbelievable.
It's really going to be interesting to follow your progress in getting to work with high tech stuff, and see if there's some misconceptions that you can substantiate or not. But we know the most important thing in golf, I would say, is being able to control direction. Once you can control direction, then you can start swinging as hard as you want. You take the best players in the world. Freddie always used to say, as long as the ball's going where I'm looking, I'm fine. Once you start getting that miss that's going opposite of where you're looking, that's when a professional gets in trouble. Now, we know two things in controlling direction is club face and then swing path. Club face, granted, is controlled pretty much by your grip, correct?
Yeah, I would say that has a great influence on it, yes.
Okay, so now with the technology that you have, you're learning more about swing path, not only the direction it's going, but the angle of attack, and that has a lot to do with it also, correct?
That's correct, Charlie.
So in talking, you know, to our listeners, and say our average listener's handicap is 18, how do you get people to work on their swing path? Say, you know, if you're a slicer and you're coming across a golf ball, what do you like to have people focus on? And that's a general, you know, generality, but go ahead and give it. Let's talk about swing path.
Well, usually there's something that's creating the swing path, and in many cases it does start with how you put your hands on the club. Because a lot of times how you grip the club dictates how your body angles are at address. And when the body angles are kind of skewed at address, and that influences the path dramatically, the grip has already influenced the club face. So I think, Charlie, we have to get people set up in a manner with a good grip and some different angles to encourage the right swing path. But if someone has a real weak grip and their upper body is in front of their lower body at the start of the swing, before they start their swing, it's going to be pretty hard for them to swing from the inside or underneath a little bit. So a lot of times people will see the result. You know, they'll say, look at your divot, you're coming over, it's going way left. Our job as instructors is to find out why you're doing it. Because if you know you're doing it and you can't correct it, then there has to be something that is encouraging the right motion. So a lot of it, I think, starts with before the club is even set in motion, with how you hold on to it, how you set up to it. I've been working with this body track, which gauges your weight throughout the swing and things like that. That's been very interesting. And for some reason, that has helped the poorer player dramatically that I've been teaching. So at the end of the day, what this stuff has done for me, it's validated what I was always taught, club face angle, path, club head speed, you know, angle of attack. That's how Claude Harmon taught us. So all this new information, I'm learning how to use it. Now I have to learn how to
interpret it,
get it to the student where they can understand it and then get better.
How much weight is on the back foot, or if you're right-handed, your right foot, at impact when the ball is in the air off of a tee?
Well, you know, that's varying with the it seems like the better players have over 80% on their front foot at impact. I've seen Jason Day, they say, has 90%. And then what's also interesting, as I watch some of the better players and even myself, as you go into your forward swing, you almost recoil back a little bit, Charlie. Have
yes.
you seen that?
I've always believed in that. And
I think I got over 80% at impact, and when I finish my swing, I have 70%. So yeah. As the upper body winds and the force of the club comes around, you know, it almost forces you back slightly.
Well, it's action and reaction. You know,
there you go.
You know, that's the main thing. And I got to, and I mentioned it to John this morning. I really choked as an instructor this week with Ankel. Ankel just came off of playing well in Argentina. He shot 64 the last round of the Argentine Open, finished third. Really was, you know, he played pretty good in Silverado, played good in Vegas. You know, it was coming on. And when he showed up in Mayacoba, he was kind of hitting a little cut fade. But, you know, to hit a cut fade for him, he's got to come over the ball just a little. So that meant he was probably aiming a little right of where he wanted, you know. And that's not good for him in a sense, because if he comes over it and really releases one, it's going left. And we had a rain delay in the first day, and he came out and hit two balls left really poorly and made a couple bogeys. And then he gets to the back nine, and he starts hitting it right. So he really got himself into a – if I would have corrected his setup, just what you're talking about, this would not have happened. So,
well, how do you do that, though, when the guy's playing well? And then he says, well, you screwed me up because I was playing well, now I'm all screwed up.
That's just a call you got to make as a teacher.
Yeah.
And I use one of the things that I use with Angel, because he doesn't like many thoughts, he doesn't like conversation, it's just the aiming sticks. You know, you put down two sticks that control the swing path a little, and that really controls his setup, because then he starts getting parallel and not too far right. And
have you faced that, Bill? Where you always talk about, hey, I don't want to screw up a guy that he's got his natural swing, so you know, I try to stay out of the way as much as possible.
Well, every teacher faces that. Every teacher has that decision to make, and that's why it's very, very difficult to teach the tour pro.
Yeah.
It seems to be accepted that it's easier to teach the tour pro. I think it's much harder to teach the tour pro than the amateur. Because once again, what we talked about with Graham McDowell, if their stroke average goes up, half a stroke or three quarter of a stroke for the year, that could be the difference between finishing in the top 10 or 20 in the money list and losing your card.
Yep.
And so the variable is so small, but it's tough at tournaments, you know, but that's why, and I also think it's very hard, and I look at Charlie and Angel, it's not easy to be a person's coach for that long, because you get tired of saying the same thing, and they get tired of hearing it.
Yeah, it's exactly right, and I'm still regretting it. And yesterday morning, you know, he hit a couple shots right, and he said, well, why am I hitting it to the right? I said, the face is open. But it was really more of his path, and so... If Uncle's listening, don't fire me yet.
Not yet. Not yet.
La Cara? You had the unusual experience of you played with the guy who was leading, and then Angel finished dead last. Right?
Yeah. And so it wasn't the lack, you know, the luck of the draw is that, and I just noticed that Graham McDowell, he double bogeyed the first hole again. That's two out of 3 days. He's hit it out of bounds on number one, and out of bounds on number one at this golf course is 40 yards to the right.
And he's leading.
Wow.
See?
And he's leading.
And he plays with the closed club face, and so he's always aiming down the right side and drawing it back while the ball's hanging to the right.
He obviously didn't close it that time.
No.
Well, yeah, la cara abierta?
Yes.
Okay.
Muy abierta.
Muy abierta. Por eso. So, well, and that you're right, Bill, probably is a lot tough, because if you tell an amateur, I remember the story about your dad. He was watching some young player hit balls, and your dad said, well, if you're going to go out on the tour, you're going to have to hit a cut. You know, you got to fade a ball in there. And he was like, well, I like to draw the ball. And your dad said, well, that's it. Bye. That was fun. Goodbye. Go have, let's go
I
have
remember
lunch.
Who it was. See, I'm not going to mention his name, but I remember who it was.
Let's go have lunch.
Guy says, I'm playing pretty good my way. And dad says, I read a lot of periodicals, but I haven't read your name lately. I know who it was. I'm not going to mention his name.
Oh, come on.
We never did hear from him after that either, by the way.
No, never heard from him again. No, that's not a shout. That's not a surprise. That's funny. Good stuff. All right, we got one segment to go on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com. Powered by Insperity. Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again, with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
And the Southern Texas.
Back here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance, and the Southern Texas PGA.
I'm heading to San Antonio next weekend, Charlie. Going to go over there to Tapatio Springs and see the
beautiful
pro over
spot.
There. Yep. Stay in the hotel there. Rice plays UT San Antonio. So we're going to stay over there, play the golf course, and meet the pro over there.
Miss Wendy going to play with you?
Miss Wendy's going to the spa. Miss Wendy's going to the spa.
But, yes, the Southern Texas PGA is one of our sponsors, and they are the people that organize all of the other golf professionals all through Southern Texas, from San Antonio down to the valley, over all the way over to Beaumont. So if you need help in golf, learning to play golf, running a golf event, running a charity event, go see or call your Southern Texas PGA pro. He or she can help you. She or he will tell you the right way to do things. If you want your children to get into the game, the Southern Texas PGA has a wonderful foundation that it raises money, and that money goes back into the community in forms of scholarship, in forms of the Little Linksters and running tournaments for their association all over Southern Texas. And they are a part of a bigger organization called the PGA of America that has 27,000 golf pros helping, growing, and teaching the game of golf. So we're proud to be a member of the PGA. I've been a member of the PGA 39 years, and so many great professionals doing a great job. And if you need any help, log on to SouthernTexasPGA.com, STPGA.com, and let Kelly Gilley and Mike Ray help you out.
Mm-hmm. And, we're starting to get where it's cold all over the U.S. This show is national, so it's starting to get cold out there. But, Billy, you got that indoor facility, and Charlie, I know you're working on a bunch of stuff over here as well. We got plenty of facilities to go and play inside. So, Bill, we can get better because of stuff like that you guys are doing down there, and obviously places, indoor places, that we're getting more. We got more opportunities to play during the winter.
Yeah, that's true. I still think, and Charlie, this is what I have to try to track is all the information in my new teaching center producing people's score going down. Because at the end of the day, you still have to chip and putt. You still have to think properly. You still have to manage yourself properly, manage a golf course. So I'm going to have a lot of fun monitoring people's progress. I can monitor their progress relative to their face angle, club head speed, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, the most important number is what you shoot. So I'm going to need to see the scores go down.
Yes, I mean, golf is a game of decisions. You have to decide how you're going to play the game. Not only do you have to decide how you're going to put your hands on the club, your setup, and so on and so forth, but it also decides what kind of shot you're going to hit. And I've always gone, and I wish I'd have known this when I was 10, but like Nicklaus says, if you make one mistake, don't make the second mistake. Chip out. Don't try to be a hero. Angel Cabrera, he made a shot the other day that he shouldn't have tried. And he was on a side hill lie, and you don't have to do that. Play safe, you know, and be conservative in your recovery strategy. And I think those are two things that you must, to be able to shoot lower scores, you've got to improve your decision-making relative to being conservative on the golf course.
Yeah, you have to know the value of a stroke. You know, sometimes you're just supposed to make a six. And don't turn that six into an eight. And every stroke that you give away, you're going to have to make it up somewhere else. And so I think the better players understand the value of a stroke. And I think they also trust their abilities, Charlie, that if they do have to chip out and make a bogey through the course of the tournament, course of the round, course of the week, if they keep doing the right thing, get in the habit of doing the right thing and playing the right way, things will work out.
Billy Harmon and Charlie Epps here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. And you mentioned chipping and putting, Bill, and I don't think we work on that nearly as much as we should. And I know myself, and I've been having a problem lately. I love to use my 56 to chip with anywhere off, and I've been blading it a lot. Is that where I'm coming? I'm not coming in steep enough?
Yeah, that could be a cornucopia of things. You'd want to have a little more weight on your front foot. But usually when you're blading, and I think somewhere in your thought process is you're trying to help it in the air. And my experience is when people try to help it in the air, their lead arm, if you're a right-handed player, their left arm slows down, the right hand speeds up, and the club hits the ball in an ascending blow. So I think to be a good pitcher of the ball, you need to have your lead arm moving as fast as the club. As soon as that slows down, the club will tend to release early, and you'll skull that ball. So, but I think that can also be a fear thing. And Charlie, you know, we've talked about it on this show. They shave these collection areas around the green so tight these days that it's really made pitching the ball much more difficult, don't you think?
100%. There's my 100%.
Huh? Yeah. I know. I knew I could get it out.
Because I was just going to remark is one of the best ways to become a good chipper pitcher of the golf ball in and around the green is understanding the lie. The lie is going to dictate the decision that you make for the type of shot that is required. And you can never go wrong with keeping the ball on the ground, rolling the golf ball if the grass is tight. And Jimmy DeMeritt, you know, he, I think, coined the phrase, you know, the Texas wedge. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to use a less lofted club. I really always liked what Marty Fleckman said, that no amateur with a handicap of 12 and above should have no more than 56-degree aloft. All these 60-degree wedges, he told his guys, put them in the trash can because you're not good enough to use them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So my friend Frank Beard has played in six different pro-ams here in the last 2 weeks, and he said from 50 yards in, he's seen 200 shots from his amateurs. And he said maybe out of the 200, maybe 40 actually got on the green. And that's how poor the short games are of the amateur golfer. And so it's not necessarily about getting it up and down for a par. If they just get it on the green in two putts, on the average, their score would improve dramatically.
Absolutely. A 50-yard in.
100%, John.
Yeah, that ain't an easy shot, is it? Not for an amateur. And you're right, Charlie. You usually have a 60-degree wedge in your hand, and that's almost impossible for the higher handicap.
And the amateur has to realize that the architects, for the most part, put all the trouble in front of the greens. There's a bunker left, a bunker right. So always make your club selection to the back of the green. So if you mishit it, you still hit it on the green. If you mishit it and you have the wrong club, you're going to bury it in a bunker. You're going to have to chip it over a bunker. Hit it to the back of the green. Jackie Burke always says that. There's three distances. The middle of green is 150. The back of the green is 165. And the front of the green is 135, right, plus or minus 15.
Right.
Make a decision. Hit it to the back of the green. And if you mishit it more times than not,
it's going
to
be short.
Miss it close.
Right, right. We always want to have a one less club in our hand so we look like we're much better and we're bigger than we hit the ball further than we actually do. And Ernie gave a great tip. Ernie Els saw him one time. He said, when you're chipping, absolutely no tension in your arms. None. Zero. Zero tension. Try to play as loose as you possibly can when you're chipping.
And I found the way to have no tension.
How's that? Tequila.
Shot of tequila. Oh, my God.
Charlie's found a new love, Billy. We're done. Bill, as always, thanks, Bill. We really appreciate
you. Have a good week.
Thanks, Bill. Billy, I'll be in touch.
As always, right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance. I won't be here next week. Like I mentioned, I'll be in San Antonio at Tapatio Springs. I'll bring back the report, Charlie.
I will be sitting in for you. Have fun with Miss Wendy, and I know you're really looking forward to next year.
Yeah. He'll be competing, but we'll see what happens. He'll be competing. That'll be a lot of fun. Red shirt's hard. It's hard to sit and watch all year, that's for sure.
But it's good.
That's good. It's great. All right, we are done here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance. Y'all have a great golf week, everybody.
At- At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.